Welcome to a podcast of the Mike Novak Show. You can listen to Mike live Sunday mornings from 9 to 11 Central on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Okay, you call Jefferson America's founding gardener. He had a good garden?
Fantastic. It's absolutely gorgeous.
He had a little bit of an advantage over modern gardeners in that he had slaves, though. Because those guys I pick up in front of the Home Depot, they're cheap, but they're not slaves. Okay?
Yeah.
A lot of Americans, my understanding is, do their gardening in their closet with a grow light. Yes. What does that say about us? What does that say about America as a culture?
We're a culture that values our privacy.
And our munchies. Thank you so much.
Live from the beautiful Showcase Studios on South Pulaski Road, just across the street from the 53A bus stop and in between Paco's Tacos and Zaka Tacos, it's The Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast green gardening and environment program. Heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good planets are hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes. True currents and thriving seas. Wind blowing through breathing trees. Strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Good planets are in the main.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, our business's people and their love for trees, and by Sid's Greenhouses, Chicagoland's premier garden centers, and by Back to Nature Compost. Life doesn't start with the seed, it starts with the soil. He's the best thing to happen to the environment since the solar-powered hamster wheel. Great. Now he's putting hamsters out of business. Here he is, Mike Novak.
It's raining out there. Should I be scared?
I don't think so, but I don't know.
Well, all I know is that Friday night, I was awakened, it was about 1 a.m., to thunder and lightning. And then it started raining. And raining, and raining, and raining. And I'll have to find that plant. What's his name? Led Zeppelin.
What's Robert Plant?
Robert Plant. Sorry. I couldn't remember.
When you said plant, I thought you meant like an actual plant.
No, not a Robert Plant song. It keeps raining. It rained and rained. I went, you know what? I'm wondering if there's going to be some trouble. So I went down to the basement, and by the time I got down there, water was pretty much pouring in to the basement. And so I started grabbing stuff and putting it up on shelves and chairs and whatever I could do. That went on for a couple hours. The rain finally stops, and I went back down to take a final look, and I couldn't open the door to the basement because there was so much water. I know. As I've told you before, and you thought I was joking, Deep Tunnel does empty into my basement.
Apparently. See, our basement was bone dry. We got lucky.
Good for you.
Yeah, sorry. Hate me if you will.
No, I don't.
But
hate
I didn't
you.
Have to clean up a basement at all.
No, I understand.
Good basement.
Well, someplace. Well, the number I saw was ridiculous. Was 8 inches of rain at one place
it
in the city?
It just slapped us real good. It was like there and gone.
Yeah. It. But everything. You know, we didn't lose too much.
It was
lots
funny.
Of few little things.
Friday morning when it was raining real good, I was on my way into work, I remember first thinking, oh, I don't have to water today because it was raining so much. And then we were looking at the street, and it literally looked like the street was going to flood. Like the water was up to the, you know, spilling off over the top of the curb.
Yeah.
After it ended, less than 3 hours later when that heat kicked in, we looked out the window here, and the sidewalk was already dry.
That's the other thing.
Yeah.
We went from impossible heat to this crazy rain, and it just all of this just won't stop.
I imagine the tropical are really happy that anybody who's got tropicals in their gardens
they're
thriving.
Think, but here's the other thing, of course, and it actually serves as a segue to our first conversation today. A lot of garden centers have been taking a hit this year, and it's because, one thing, the weather's not cooperated, and it's a bad economy to begin with. You know, the garden centers have a couple of days a week usually when people are going to come out and buy and keep them going, keep them happy, keep them operating. I got, for those of you who follow me on Facebook and Twitter, earlier this week I tweeted some really important news about my show and about one of, well, as we say in the commercials on my program, Chicagoland's premier garden centers, and that's SIDS. And SIDS is going out of business. It's a big deal. It's a big deal to the people on the southwest side of Chicago because they have provided wonderful service and products to the people on the southwest side for, 50 years because they were started in 1961. And we're going to talk to Phil Shasma, senior president of SIDS Greenhouses. He's on the line. Hang on just a second, Phil. And after that, Bonnie Flaster, Dr. Bonnie Flaster, is in studio with me from River North Wellness Center. As long as we're talking about gardening, I'm going to try to, well, we will try to teach you how to garden without hurting yourself. How to make yourself feel good in the garden or avoid the pain. Rick DeMaio is out in the Poconos. He should be here telling us, but he will be on the phone with weather in the second half hour. At 10 o'clock, David A. Gravel from Green Organics in Illinois is going to tell us about composting on a commercial scale. A lot of you compost in your yards. The laws have changed in Illinois. And we're going to talk about how that's affected his company and the kind of products they put out. And then finally, our very own Beth Botts. Now, you got to understand, Beth and I put this together earlier in the week when it was 100 degrees and no rain. And she wrote these two great blog posts about how to water. Then, of course, we get 8 inches of water or rain in Chicago. That's how these things work. Timing is everything. By the way, let me go to line one, bring in Phil Shasma, Sr., president of SIDS Greenhouses. Good morning, Phil. How you doing?
Good morning, Michael. How are you? It is raining hard on the southwest side.
Oh, boy. It started to rain as I came in, and I don't want to have to go back down to my basement.
Well, I'm glad you're flooding, and I'm not.
Hey, by the way, folks, if you're listening and you've been to SIDS and are a fan, and you want to say something to Phil, say hi and wish him the best, or talk about your experiences at SIDS Greenhouses, 773-838-9278 is the phone number. Because, Phil, as I was logging on here to my computer, one of the very first things... Is that thunder that I just heard
that
there?
That is lightning and thunder outside, yes.
Oh, my goodness.
So if I lose you, I'll call you back.
Yeah, please do.
At that very same number.
Right, exactly. I'm trying to see who wrote in because I here it is. Via LinkedIn, and I don't even use LinkedIn very much, but I've been getting Facebook messages and tweets, emails all week from folks saying things about SIDS closing its doors. This came in just this morning. It says, Mike, that's a real bummer. SIDS was a great place to shop. And I'm getting these kinds of things all week from folks who's saying, I can't believe it. This was my favorite place to go. You always had quality service and products. So, Phil, as best you can, tell me what happened.
Well, there's a lot of variables that have happened here. And first of all, I just want to say, too, the stuff on my Facebook page, the emails, the mail, has just been very, very humbling and awesome. And I just want to thank anyone who's listening who might have said anything or just thinking about it and keeping our family in your prayers. There's been a lot of things going on. SIDS did a lot of expanding in the late 90s and early 2000s and borrowed lots of money. And, that's how things were done in those days. We expanded and borrowed and kept paying down debt and did a little more expanding, which is the American way in those days. That was part of it. You talked about the rain in the spring and how hard it is in the lawn and garden industry. This spring was the fourth spring with not the best weather conditions and almost adverse conditions in May again. Last year we had an awesome April and a very over bad May. This year we had a lousy April and May weather-wise and a halfway decent June, even though we had a lot of rain. So all this kind of compounds with affecting how people garden. The economic climate has definitely affected businesses everywhere, and especially on products that people really don't need. I mean, plants are not a necessity, but they're an awesome thing mentally and exercise-wise and all that kind of good stuff. But that has people are not building new houses. There's no new landscaping going in, minimal redos because the people just can't afford it. So this has really affected the industry across the whole country. So now you got weather. You've got the economic climate where people aren't spending as much. You've got quite a bit of debt going on. And you just keep and then there's a little bit of a changing of our buying habits. There's a lot more choices out there on some of the larger non-traditional independent garden centers, some of the pop-up stores and malls and stuff like that. So all that dilutes a little bit of the marketplace. And so you got all this lined up. And then the really thing that broke our back is 2 years ago, our bank was shut down by the FDIC. And a new bank bought them, and this is fine. And they bought our loans, and they called all the lines. And, they looked at our records, and, oh, you lost money this year. Oh, last year, and this year doesn't look too good. So what they did is they pulled our line of credit, so we operated 2 years with no line of credit. So that means you're strictly on cash flow. You have nothing to borrow to pay back every year. You're strictly working out whatever comes in the door. So it made life very, very tough. And then this past winter was a very, very hard winter to just be able to pay bills, to buy product, and just be able to stay in business. And this spring, the bank has decided not to renew any paperwork after June and would like to exercise some option on pulling the plug on the property and taking control of that to pay off any money I owe on the mortgage, which are all that kind of stuff never balances anymore. So we are going along with it. They would like X amount of dollars, and we're trying to sell as much inventory as we can to pay off that much money. So it's a sad situation. It's tough. It's very hard on the family. We've kind of got over the hump and have gone on to the next level now. It's very hard. When customers walk in the door and they start crying, customers have been shopping with us for 30 or 40 years or less or more. It's hard. We're trying to find new jobs for a lot of our employees. I'm out there. I'm getting people sending me emails and say, hey, we could use a grower. We could use a salesperson. So we're sending them out to different places to try to get a job. So it's hard. And, as a person myself, I look at it and say, God gave me 40-plus years to work in his garden at SIDS. It was started by my dad. We took it over. I dropped out of college in 1970, I think it was, and came to work full-time. But he gave me that time to work here, and I'm 60 now, so I'm sure God's got more plans on what direction he wants me to go and find another career or do something else.
Well, 60 is the new 40, as they say. And sometimes people have to start new careers, and they do. I have to tell you, though, I find it really discouraging that once again, the banks play a role in this. I have nothing good to say about banks at all in our country. Zero. Or in the world, tell you the truth. They can all crumble to dust as far as I am concerned, because what's happened in the last 3 years and their reaction, which is, me, mine, save my bacon and nobody else's, and the small entrepreneur can go to blazes is just makes me crazy. And, you know, I know you can't go out and rail against the banks, but I can because it's my radio show, you know. And, you know, they haven't come a call into me. So, but that whole thing where the little guy can't make it because the credit's not there anymore. And, yeah, as you said, earlier in the decade or in the century, it was a different story. But things change. And the point you make also about the weather, I've talked to other garden centers. All spring, and actually for the last 3 years, as you mentioned, it's been weird. And 2 years ago it rained all spring, and then last year it kind of got started, and then it didn't, and then this year has just been nuts. It's every weekend. It's, you know, it's 1 week it's snow, and the next week it's 100 degrees. And I have talked to garden centers who said this is just really hard. It's a hard business. Because you depend on good weather to get people out. If it rains, people don't show up. If it's, you know, too hot, people don't show up. There's always an excuse not to show up at the garden center because, as you said, plants, while wonderful and they add, to our lives, are, it's not like, food. It's not like a meal, or other necessities of life, except if you're, you know, buying vegetables, which I have done at SIDS. So you're not the only one hurting. I bet you've talked to other people who are having problems as well, right, Phil?
It's very interesting. I talk to people throughout the Chicagoland area and even throughout the nation. I just resigned from the Board of Directors of Garden Centers of America, so we know garden centers and personally involved with many garden centers around the whole country. And there, when all this came out, I started sharing this over the last 2 years, a couple of magazine articles in the trade and talked at different shows and different markets and stuff. And I've been pretty out in the open with this whole time, and I cannot believe how many different businesses, garden center and landscaping or small garden shops, have talked and said, wow, you know, we're going through some of the same things you're going through, and this is going on, and this is going on. So there is a lot of that out there. And now it's, you know, and now that it's come into where it is today, where, you know, the press announcement went out earlier in the week, and we are right out in the middle of the open, and it's store closing sales. I'm getting businesses in the area coming by and telling me they're going through this, or they have, you know, there's a company I didn't even know went bankrupt 3 weeks ago, shut the doors, laid everybody off, and everything went to auction. They didn't even try selling anything out.
Who was
and
that?
It was a manufacturing plant on the south side here.
Oh, okay.
So,
all right.
He's a customer, and I had no idea of this. And, you know, I hear this one come in and tell me they're, you know, on the verge. And I get emails from, you know, someone I knew for years ago. I know her brother, her and her husband went bankrupt 4 years ago in Michigan. I didn't even know that. So, you know, these are the kind of things all out there, and it's affecting so many businesses today. And, you know, I'm not going to get into political into things or in the banking industry, because it's more than the banks, it's more than politics, it's the whole world right now is standing. I think there's a lot of issues out there, and
but Phil, it goes back to politics, and it does go to those. I'm sorry,
yeah,
you
sure
know you can say that, but ultimately, if the world is in crisis, it got there somehow, and a lot of it was the fault of lending institutions who have by and large been bailed out and leaving the small business owners to hold the bag. And it does go back to that, but you and I can't clean that up right this second.
It's way beyond me. You know, I'm a small businessman. My background is growing and dealing with chemicals and plants and all this kind of good stuff. And I'd much rather leave the politics to the politicians, but sometimes leave us alone and let us do what we should be doing. So, you know, the whole world, you know, I kind of grew up in the 60s and in the 70s with other people's monies and OPMs. And, you know, this is the talk. You go to Money Incorporated and all the stuff that happened back 30, 40 years ago. And, you know, that's how we cut our eye teeth and moved on in the world. And that's wrong. I mean, you know, it's just the way of the indulgences of this part of the century. And, you know, we're going back into something that our parents used to talk about back from the 30s and early 40s. I don't think our kids are ever going to be at the level we thought we were a couple years back, even though we probably weren't quite as good or as rich as we kind of thought we were.
Well, you were better off. We were better off than we thought. Yeah, my parents had financial security in a way that I will never No, I will just never understand how that was possible, because it is not possible. Now, the other thing I want to bring up before I let you go, and I'll give you a chance to tell people what kind of bargains they've got at Sid's right now. But the other question I want to bring is, how much did the box stores play a part in this?
I think they had a lot to do with it. You know, it's a different world out there. I know, you know, we were part of Home and Garden Showplace, which is part of True Values. So, you know, my own inside supported the independent hardware or the hardware co-op, but I'm still going to Home Depot. Excuse me. I'm still running the Lowe's and the Menards in the world to get stuff, because that's just the mentality we have today. And that's fine. It's a free country. You buy where you want to buy. But that did have a big effect. I think there's a whole generation that tends to buy that direction more than the small independents. Now, we were not a small independent anymore. That was a big issue. We've got to be from a large garden center. We're doing almost $8 million, $7.5 million in retail, plus the landscaping. So you have a lot of business to support, and to support that much business, you need a lot of land, and you got a lot of buildings, and you got a lot of inventory, so your debt service is high. And I think in today's market, you just need to have a smaller store and a little bit more specialized, and you can become very much involved with your customer, and you can do very, very well. So that's my, you know, looking back today at the world.
Yeah, because I've talked about it on the show with other people, and one of the things that, you know, the folks do, they might want to go to the box stores, and they think the plants are cheaper, and they're really not, and that's the mentality I've never quite understood, and they don't get the same service, and they don't get the same quality, and yet they continue to do that. But you're right, it's sort of a mindset we've gotten into that is going to result in a few more places closing before folks, well, you know, it's like independent bookstores.
Oh, yeah.
You know, look what's happening to that. Yeah, Borders is a good example. All right, well, you're closing down. How long is it going to take, and how are you going to dispose of your inventory?
Well, we had a very, very busy week. So any listeners that were here this week, thank you. We have to come up with X amount of dollars when we shut the doors. None of that's been determined. In my mind, it's the middle of August. That's about when we see the diminishing return on sales compared to the cost of staying open. To be open, you've got, you know, all your utilities, employees, and insurances, and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, we kind of did a spreadsheet on it, and so we're talking maybe another 3 or 4 weeks maximum, and then we're going to move on. Sales are you know, be a progressive sale. We are right now 30 to 70% off on a lot of things. Not everything was on sale yet. I think by the end of this week, I just thought everything will be on some sort of markdown. What was happening is this last couple of weeks, I'm still buying stuff COD because people still got weeds to kill and bugs to kill and got fungus problems and need some fertilizer. So I'm bringing product in and paying for it to sell to the customers because they still come in needing stuff.
Of course,
so
they do.
But that has stopped now. So now we're going to not bring any more stuff in. We're just going to start running things down, except for perennials. I think I'm bringing 1,000 perennials in this week because we have sold just about completely out of perennials. I have a grower that he said, well, if you're going to sell them half price, I'll sell them to you for, you know, 30% off, and you can make a couple bucks for every at the bank and keep going from there.
Well, I hope more people do that for you, because for one thing, I'm coming down there maybe tomorrow or Tuesday.
Okay. And then one, you know, my nephew started his own landscape company. My wife is starting a flower shop. We want to keep a few things going, so you know, we hope that I still want to be in the industry somewhere along the line, and we'll continue. I mean, you know, not the business itself is done. I will not have a big garden center. I will not have a garden center. I'm out of that business. I'll probably look for a new job. I got to find something. And then we just don't know where life is going to go. We don't know how far they go besides the business, you know, whether it starts going personal. And, you know, when it goes for that, I'll find an apartment to live in near you, but I can help you with your garden.
Well, your candor is wonderful. It's very refreshing for you to come on and be a stand-up guy about this and just tell about, you know, which something that has to be devastating to you and your family and your employees and to the people who shop at Sid's, and to me too, you know, because you're an advertiser on my show. What can I say? Well, of course, the garden centers are in Palos Hills and Southwest Highway. That address is
10926 Southwest Highway. That's in Palos Hills. It's just off the corner of 111th and Southwest Highway, near Harlem Avenue.
And then Bolingbrook on Napier Plainfield Road at Hassert Boulevard. That's the big fancy one.
That's the brand new one, and it's between Route 59 and Weber Road. and at 111th Street, which is called Hassard Boulevard in that area.
So go in, buy something on sale, help Sid's retire some of the debt gracefully. You know, Phil, you and I will be talking again soon. And as you go out, I will continue to let people know that they can when they can come by and shop for things, and we'll see if we can get you some cash.
Sounds awesome, Mike. Thank you. Thank you, all your great listeners, and have a wonderful day.
You too. Stay dry, buddy.
Okay, thanks.
All right. Phil Schaffsma Sr. from Sid's Greenhouses. Dr. Bonnie Flaster is sitting next to me very patiently. Give me just a second, Bonnie, and we're going to talk about how to keep yourself healthy in the garden. Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. Damage and destruction caused by insects and diseases can severely limit the ability of trees and shrubs in your landscape to manufacture the sugars and substances needed to remain healthy. As a tree's health suffers and declines, the odds for defoliation and death sharply increase. Trees that are already in poor health are more susceptible to insects and diseases, so a tree in general good condition will less likely be victimized. A certified arborist from the Care of Trees can evaluate your trees to identify any damage or signs of early disease and explain options available for managing the health of your trees. Make the Care of Trees your permanent partner in enhancing the value of your landscape. Whether you want to make sure all is well with the trees in your yard, or you're changing your landscaping, invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. 847-394-4220. The Care of Trees. Their business is people and their love for trees.
Want to make a positive move in the housing market? Replace your siding and windows. You'll improve your home's look and energy efficiency, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for your remodeling and energy needs. Siding, windows, solar and wind power, and more. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
And then the announcer says, the announcer actually wants to, the announcer was going to have music, and then he looked up and he saw that the machine had gone to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
It does that.
Yes, it
does.
This
little CD player. So now the machine is awake. Wakey, wakey. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Sitting on my left very comfortably is Dr. Bonnie Flaster from River North Wellness Center. Hi, Bonnie. How are you?
Good, Mike. How are you?
I'm fine. It's still gardening time. People are still out there messing around in their gardens, digging weeds, and they can hurt themselves. And, you know, I posted this information, a link to River North Wellness and to the blog you wrote about keeping yourself healthy in the garden. And I said, you know, maybe I should have done this in the spring when we were starting, but, you know, any time is a good time to learn how to do this properly, right?
Definitely.
So let's talk very quickly about what it is that people tend to do wrong when they're working in their yard. And I imagine a lot of it has to do with your back.
Well, for sure. I mean, thing about gardening, you know, particularly this time of year where we've had such lousy weather and you've got, you know, sort of this small window to now get a lot of things done. So you're out there, you're gardening, you've got a task, you've got certain things you want to do, and time just gets away from you. You don't realize that, oh, I've actually been bending over for 2 hours.
Yeah.
And you go to get up, and your back screams at you. So one of the things to do is to actually vary your activity. don't be in one position. Don't be weeding for 2 hours.
But you know what? That's part. And you, I see you had your hand up.
My mother was weeding the entire walkway and garden yesterday. She was out there for about 5 or 6 hours. She could hardly move.
Because she was doing the same thing over and over again.
I sat her down. I gave her like 3 ibuprofen and a big tall glass of water. And I was like, don't you move. And yeah, she, and the my back. That's all she could say.
So what did she do wrong? How could she have helped herself?
Well, the thing is, you probably have more activities you need to do than just weed. So if you're in one position like you're weeding, do it for about a half hour and then do something else that's using opposite muscles, like do something standing up, prune the bushes.
People don't think that way. What they think is, I got to get this done.
They think in task.
Yeah.
Like, I have to accomplish this task and then the next one and the next one. And
that's typical human nature. Unfortunately, now your mother is probably going to be hurting for a number of days.
Mm-hmm.
She's not getting the various tasks done, and she's in pain. So if you rotate what you're doing, rotate the muscles you're using, you'll actually get more done, and you won't hurt.
Okay. How do you rotate? I mean, give me an example. Like you said, for instance, you're weeding first, all right, and then second, so do something with your upper body that points you to the sky so you're stretching rather than bending over.
You've got bushes to prune.
Mm-hmm.
You've got something to dig. Digging
would be a different task. Yeah.
Right. So just rotating the task. The other thing is to take breaks. Again, you've got X amount of things to get done. You know, it's been raining. It's been too hot. You finally have this window, so you're going to go out and you're going to do things for 10 hours. Take a break, and time gets away from you. So, you know, take a little egg timer, take a kitchen timer, set it for an hour or so it beeps, so you know that it's now time every hour.
Well, everybody's got a smartphone. You can just, you know, set the timer on your phone.
All right, I'm a technical dinosaur.
All right, well, the egg timer, that's fine too.
So whatever, set your smartphone, set your watch, set whatever you can so it reminds you that, oh, an hour has passed. It is time for me to actually take a 15-minute break. And the thing is, it's like, well, I'm wasting this time. But actually, if you give your body a chance to rest, you can work more efficiently and you don't end up in pain not being able to do something.
The other thing you talk about, though, is the idea of when you do use the muscles, use them properly. I mean, you can weed, but the best way is probably not going to be to bend over and from your waist and start yanking stuff out of the ground.
That's true. I mean, ideally, you want to, as much as possible, be sitting. When you bend, when people bend, they have a tendency to bend from their upper back and down, bend from their waist. And actually, where you should bend is from your hips. And your hips are where your legs meet your butt, essentially. And that's really the pivot point, that you should be keeping your back relatively straight, because that's how backs are happiest.
Mm-hmm.
And bend from the hips. Now, again, if possible, to get as low to the ground so you're not bending as much. Some people, there's tools to help with weeding.
Well, one of the things you say is these little seats that you have. Sit down and pull out the weeds.
Yeah,
be smart, you know, so that you're not bending over, so that you've got that leverage.
Again, the smarter you are about using your body, the better your body is going to work for you.
Yeah. But okay, here's the deal, though. And I've noticed this because I'm aware that, for instance, when you're lifting, you really want to bend your knees. You don't, you know, want to use your back as a fulcrum. You want to really get that power from your legs, right?
Right. Your legs are much stronger. Your back muscles, particularly your low back muscles, they are really designed for us to stand up straight. They're postural muscles. We get into back problems because we are bipeds. We stand up. Our backs weren't designed to lift things. Our legs are designed to lift things. Our arms are designed to lift things. Not our backs.
Here's the problem. As you get to a certain age, you know, this is not so much for you punks out there, you youngsters, but you get to a certain age and you know that if you bend your knees to lift, your knees are going to hurt. All right. Some people have knee pain as well as back pain. And so it's a trade-off. You go, okay, what am I willing to deal with at the moment? Well, I have a choice. I can go for the back pain or I can go for the knee pain. What happens if... I'm serious.
No,
Because I have consciously... I've found myself working in the yard, lifting things and going, oh, I really should be bending my knees. And then I do, and I go, oh, that's why I'm not bending my knees. Because that hurts too. And what happens if you're making those decisions? You stop? Don't do this anymore?
Find the youngster down the block.
Exactly.
Well, as you say, sometimes, you know, you present the ideal thing and then you work with your body. Mm-hmm. One of the things, you know, if you've got issues with arthritis, really the best thing is to keep moving. So, you know, the legs are still what's designed to work better. So the thing is to don't avoid using your knees. Get used to using them more.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And again, you need to be smart. Everyone's an individual, so you need to be smart about what you're doing. But, you know, so you could do, okay, get your legs in maybe a little more, lift closer to your body.
That's one of your tips, yeah. Is that in all cases, don't spread the energy out. Bring it in to your body, you know. Keep your arms close to you when you're lifting and when you're, keep your legs close to you too?
keep what you're lifting close to you. Don't be reaching far away from you to lift. It puts you at, you know, it puts you at a disadvantage. It makes mm-hmm. what you're lifting heavier. You can't use your muscles as well because they're stretching and straining to reach something. So be close to what you're working with.
Yeah. That is Dr. Bonnie Flaster from River North Wellness Center. I've got the information online. Go to MikeNovak.net. This week's show, she's written a blog about gardening without pain, basically, or minimizing it, just doing it smarter, I guess, is the way to put it. And she, River North Wellness is rivernorthwellness.com. Why don't you hang around? I'm going to talk to our meteorologist, Rick DeMaio. But you and he have something in common. And I also want you to let me know what I've missed here about. We talked about bending. We talked about lifting, carrying. I imagine that's one of the things, too, carrying. Be smart. Don't think you can grab a 40-pound bag and walk it a half a block, you know, especially if you've got a wheelbarrow.
Right. You know, use tools.
Yeah. You know, that's a great idea. Use your opposable thumbs. Use your brain. All that good stuff. All right. That's Dr. Bonnie Flaster. Our phone number is 773-838-9278. If you have a question or a comment. Are you as confused by the Chicago weather as I am? I'm going to ask Rick DeMaio about that in just a second, because I am. And if you are, you should probably get a subscription to Chicagoland Gardening Magazine, because no matter how stupid the weather is, there will be answers to your Zone 5 gardening questions. Now, for instance, in the current July-August issue, the Q&A section alone deals with issues like how to grow moss in your garden, why fungal diseases might be attacking your flocks. That's not code either. What happens when botrytis goes after your peonies? That's not code. And which ornamental grasses will do well in part shade? If you see an article called Got Lead, well, that was written by me. It's about how I discovered that there's enough lead in my backyard soil to protect Superman from kryptonite. And does he ever say thank you? I don't think so. And since everything is pretty much about me, there's my column on the inside back page. Do people who read it ever say thank you? I don't think so. Pick up a copy of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine on newsstands all over Chicago, but it's a lot easier if you get a subscription. Trust me. Call 888-265-3600, 888-265-3600, or go to chicagolandgardening.com.
You can have a beautiful lawn and be kind to the environment, too. Hi, I'm Melinda Myers, horticulturist and gardening expert. A few simple changes in your lawn care practices, like using Milorganite Goof-Proof Organic Fertilizer, can result in a carpet of green safe for your kids and pets. Start by raising the mowing height of your lawn, if you haven't done so already. Taller grass is better able to compete with the weeds. Mow often, removing only one-third of the total height, and leave the clippings on the lawn. Consider using a push or electric mower. It's good for the wasteland and the environment. further improve your lawn's health, and greatly reduce weed problems with proper fertilization. Milorganite's organic nitrogen is slow release and won't burn your lawn, even in hot, dry weather. Plus, you don't need to water it in. And the non-staining iron helps maintain the deep green color, even in the heat of summer. So join the professionals and home gardeners who've trusted Milorganite for over 80 years. Use Milorganite for better results naturally. Available where garden supplies are sold.
It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. You were laughing at a tweet we just got from, actually, Beth Biots.
He's going to be on later.
Who's going to be on the program talking about, of all things, watering, how to water properly, like we need that now. But she says she's listening to Dr. Flaster on healthy gardening, realizing that her short attention span is a good thing. She is varying tasks to, you know, that's true. If you forget what you're doing and then you move on to something else, you might actually be using different muscles. Right, Bonnie?
So ADD gardening.
It's good for you. ADD. It's good for your back.
Yeah. Let's go to the, well, you know it's line one, don't you, Rick? Because it's always line one.
Yeah, this is where in the world are you this weekend, Rick DeMille? Line.
Yeah, where are you this weekend, Rick DeMille?
Visiting my family, my parents in the Poconos. Where early this week I arrived on Wednesday, and we had a high of 97 in New York City on Wednesday, 99 on Thursday, and then 104 officially in Central Park on Friday, and it hit 106 at Newark, New Jersey, which were record high temperatures, as well as for Newark an all-time high of 106.
Oh, my goodness. So the heat wave has actually gotten worse as it's gone east.
Yeah, I think what happened there, that was a good example of an urban heon effect, Mike. That's where you have, you know, so much of the concrete and asphalt and blacktop and infrastructure. And Newark Airport is always, I think, skewed a little bit higher than some other surrounding areas because there's so much industry surrounding that particular area. Similar to how the lakefront on Wednesday and Thursday hit 101, while Midway was 100 and officially at O'Hare Field, it was 99. So yeah, the heat definitely moved east. The humidity moved east, but not as much. The stifling humidity, the dew point temperatures in the upper 70s and near 80 pretty much stayed in the Corn Belt area. That's really tough to get dew points that high in the urban corridor, so to say. But nonetheless, even driving out of Newark Airport Wednesday afternoon at about 12 o'clock, you felt it very, very quickly, as most Chicagoans and most Americans have felt the heat over the last 2 weeks in the Midwest and the last 2 months in the Southern Plains, Mike.
I have a question to ask. Now, the official temperature in New York City, is that from Central Park?
That's from Central Park. And it, amazingly enough, it's been at the same place now for, I think, since 1785 or 1790. Not exactly sure on that. I know they've made some changes. But, yeah, the official weather observation has been in Central Park for all those years. And you would think they would have moved it to maybe an airport site here and there, but they remained official just like Boston has remained official, I believe outside one of the parks there. And that's pretty much what it all set up, you know, during the revolutionary times. And they haven't changed it. It's kind of fun to think about that and
well,
go back that far.
But the point I wanted to make is that our official temperature comes from O'Hare. That ain't the city. That's not Chicago. That's a cornfield, basically, or an orchard. It used to be an orchard, as you know.
And on top of that, it moved around a bit. It was at the Weather Service office in downtown Chicago for about 10 years, and then it moved down to 35th and Pershing for about 30 years, and then it moved over to Midway Airport, and then University of Chicago, and then moved out to O'Hare. So there's always been a little bit of debate on, you know, on how official our official records. But one thing for sure is, as long as you keep the numbers in the same place for the same time, or at least over the same period of time, there's a lot that you can compare it to, and this one definitely was one to compare it to.
Well, the reason I say that is because we got to 100 at Midway 2 days in a row here, didn't we?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, we would have had 200-degree days, except that it was out at O'Hare and in the middle of a cornfield, and so we didn't get the 100, you know. And I'm all about numbers. I'm all about breaking records. That's all I care about.
You know what? I think one thing we have learned over the years is it's not so much whether you hit a number, it's how long that number. No, seriously, it's how long that number in a certain range is reached. Because I think what we learned back in 1995, it wasn't so much that the temperature hit 106, the heat index hit 115. It was that we hit a heat index above 100 degrees for 8 hours, and then the overnight lows below 80 degrees for a certain period of time. And that's what has been so interesting about this particular heat wave. I was reading something very interesting online a couple of days ago about how many records were broken that were all-time overnight lows, particularly across Missouri and Iowa and Kansas and Oklahoma, where the temperatures just weren't getting below 82 or 83 degrees. And I think that's a real measure of how high not only the heat is but also the humidity. And as we all know, heat is an accumulating process. It's a duration process. So I think we've begun to learn more so how to forecast the stress value or the stress factor of a particular weather event as opposed to just a number itself. Mm-hmm. And the same thing goes even with Hurricane Katrina. Even though Hurricane Katrina was a Category 5 and it weakened to a 4 to 3, it was a very large hurricane with a tremendous amount of size and a tremendous amount of wind, and then you end up having a storm surge of 25 to 30 feet. But I think it's always good to go back and look at the actual event and not so much a number or an index associated with that event.
Yeah, but I'm a shallow guy. This is me, you know? that's the way I am about these things.
Look at the discussions we've had on Zone 5, and I just heard you talking about it before. You know, some people may say, okay, it's zone 5, I'm but the east side of my house, and maybe more 6 on the west side, and maybe 4. The soil is done here. You know, I think we're going to learn, you know, over the next few years how to break up those zones into maybe zone 5A or zone 5B.
Well, we do. There are 5A and 5B. They have been broken up into certain, and they find they have to do that because the temperatures are, you know, they're changing a little bit.
Right, but I guess what I was beginning to say was how long are you in, you know, a 5A or a 5B, and at what time of the year do you hit that? And I think we're going to do that with gardening as well. There's going to be different ways, and we're probably there as you know, already that I may not know about. You're an expert on that more than I am. But I think it's a more finite and fine-tuned way of understanding weather and climate and gardening and agriculture. And I think it's exciting as well, because sometimes you have people who still hold on to these old things. Well, when I was a kid, you know, we only got to 90. Yeah, but it seems to be lasting longer now, and we have overnight lows of this. I think you need to kind of stress, you know, the fact that, you know, we look at things differently these days. And, you know, I always think back to, you know, I think these discussions that are going on in Washington right now about who's right, is it the Republicans right this week or the Democrats right this week? You know, in the end, we're all Americans. We're all trying to get to one point, right? You know, let's kind of like work together on something and kind of figure out a common goal. And it's kind of funny how gardening and agriculture and weather kind of fit into those. Into those same kind of frameworks sometimes.
Yeah. I want to introduce you to somebody, too, Rick, because you guys have something in common. Dr. Bonnie Flaster, a friend of mine, she's in the studio here. You guys
nice are... to meet you, Bonnie. Don't be offended if I don't shake your hand.
That's okay.
You guys both like to get out into kayaks.
Matter of fact, yesterday I was out on a couple of kayaks and a couple of rafts on the Delaware River, which borders between New York and Pennsylvania, and just beautiful area to be in.
I have paddled that river in a canoe.
Yeah, which part, Doctor?
Oh, right, actually near the Pennsylvania, New Jersey, up around High Point.
It was a number
of years ago, because I'm from New Jersey.
Okay, yeah, High Point State Park. There's a little obelisk there that sticks up, representing the highest point of the state. The Delaware, Mike, as you know, runs all the way from the Central Mountains or the Catskill Mountains of New York all the way through New York, Pennsylvania border, and then the Pennsylvania, New Jersey border, and ends up going into Delaware Bay, and a very, very traveled river. by many, many folks. Many people come to that particular area just to get away from the heat. And it was amazing how many people were out in the river yesterday. So we were enjoying it quite a bit.
But Bonnie, you often go out on Lake Michigan, right?
Yeah, I mainly go out on Lake Michigan.
And so do you, right, Rick?
Yeah, a couple of kayaks up by Loyola Beach. And I was amazed at how much the beach, the water temperature went up to almost 75 degrees on Monday and Tuesday. And, you know, of course, you get that little bit of an offshore wind and the westerly wind kicks in and the upwelling develops. But I think as much upwelling as we get right now, it's going to be tough to get the water temperature down to 70 degrees with all the heat that we've had. But I was amazed. One of the lakes that I was in a couple of days ago, I'm not kidding you, Mike, the water temperature was somewhere between 85 and probably 88 degrees.
It
was almost too warm to go.
It's like being in soup.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, it's funny because someone said this feels like bath water. I'm always saying, whose bath water is 85 degrees? People get in, they go, that's cold. Most people's bath water is like probably above 100. But, it felt like soup, and you know what? It looked like soup. I felt like I was swimming in minestrone because of all the debris that was being, kind of churned up from the bottom. But, Bonnie, the Delaware River was probably about 75 degrees and flowing nicely, and it was very, very refreshing.
All right. Well, as it's raining here, I don't know if you're looking at the radar now.
Yeah, I'm all up on that. We've got about 3.5 inches of rain, Mike, which I know Beth Botts is going to talk about proper ways of watering. Maybe she should talk about proper ways of capturing rainwater to water later, because that's also probably a technique, you know, that you can incorporate into watering.
Rain barrels,
Anywhere between about 3.5 and 4 inches of rain came down from northern Will County through southern Cook, parts of Grundy County, Kane County, DeKalb, all the way up to around the Rockford area. There are flood warnings in effect. They're expecting the Des Plaines River to crest somewhere between about 20 and about 20 and a half feet by late tonight, particularly around the Riverside area and the DuPage River to flood, or at least to approach flood stage later on tonight into tomorrow morning. So I think any flooding that we do get in certain areas is probably going to be done with by Monday morning. So that'll be good, because I don't think we're going to see anything from a standpoint of traffic problems. That's always a concern around the Naperville-Bolingbrook area.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think the heaviest rain is essentially down to the south of us. We got the rain that we needed, because obviously we're a little bit on the dry side.
I don't know if you weren't, because you're in the Poconos, you probably didn't hear earlier, but I had about 8 inches of water in my basement on Friday.
No, I heard about that event. Yeah, that was that other event that came through on Friday. That was a nice event as well.
Oh, my God. Now, how much rain? What was the, weren't people talking 7-8 inches of rain someplace?
Yeah, there were some reports of about 7 inches with that, and then obviously with this event as well. So we've pretty much replenished a lot of our area of waterways quite a bit over the last week and a half.
Are we going to continue to get that rain because of training? What's going to happen now?
Well, I think this first band is going to go south of us, and then there's one more that comes through during the day tomorrow. So I think we have one more shot of some a period of showers and some thunderstorms, but I don't think we're going to see the heavy stuff that we got last night. So essentially, 24 hours from now is when the second front comes through, and we'll probably end up getting maybe an additional 1/2 inch to 3/4 inch of rain on top of that, and then I think we should be done for a while. So the drying out process begins Monday afternoon, and will probably continue through Tuesday, even into Wednesday and Thursday as well, Mike.
And does it get hot again?
The heat doesn't really come back at us until probably another week from now. The warm weather today would probably only get temperatures up in the low 90s, but once we get into this cooler pattern tomorrow, we're probably talking low to mid 70s, low to mid 80s tomorrow. We'll say low 80s tomorrow, and then probably mid 70s during the day on Tuesday and probably into Wednesday again. Some warmth comes back by the end of the week, but I don't think any extreme heat right now. It looks like that may be tempered somewhat, particularly to the south of us.
Yay!
I know that's something that I think everybody is a little bit stressed. You know, it's interesting because my parents, God bless them, put air conditioning in this cabin that they have about 5 years ago. We had 19 people up here for 2 nights in a row, and you could see everybody was getting from the outside to the inside as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it really is something to watch how heat has such an effect on people, on elderly. Even if you're in your upper 70s to near 80, you know, some people still want to be able to get out and do stuff. And I saw my dad trying to water plants. I'm like, Dad, sit down, take it easy, whatever you do. Because we came in Wednesday, he and I, we had a beer together. Next thing he goes, ooh, that beer really knocked me out. And it was amazing how much alcohol takes away from your ability to keep your senses, you know, even, and the ability to keep your body, you know, at a certain temperature.
And with all that heat, yeah.
Absolutely. It's got a huge effect on that.
So, all right. Mr. DeMaio, you will enjoy yourself. Make sure your dad takes care of himself in the heat.
Hydrates himself, yeah. I'm off to the Statue of Liberty in Ellis Island tomorrow, Mike.
Well, enjoy yourself there. Rick DeMaio, DeMaioWeather.com. You can go to my website, MikeNovak.net. We'll talk next week, buddy. Take care.
Okay, see you, Mike.
Bye-bye. Bonnie, what did we miss? Is there anything that we've missed about taking care of yourself in the garden? I saw your assistant there, like, flashing gang signs through the window.
She was flashing gang signs about, you know, using tools.
And using them. That's true, because you need to do that properly as well.
You know, and pick your tools wisely. Pick, you know, don't pick some monstrous, really heavy tool just because it's on sale and cheap, you know.
Or, cheap is really a good point, because sometimes you don't get a good quality tool, and that's going to hurt you if you use, because you're repeating it. You're using the same motion over and over again. And now there are ergonomic tools that you can buy, too, that will help you.
And, you know, it's worth the investment, because if you buy something that is hurting you, ultimately you'll probably go out and then buy the good one anyway. So, you know,
that's true. So get it in the first. Well, it's hard. People see they're going to save a couple of nickels, and, you know, you can't dissuade them from that. You know, I'm telling you, go to Sid's now and buy some tools. Get some really good ones.
There's a sale going on. There's
a big sale. Yeah. Well, Dr. Bonnie Flaster, River North Wellness. It's rivernorthwellness.com. The links are on my website, mikenovak.net. Take a look at her blog on how to protect yourself in the garden. Great having you here. And
thank you.
Go up and get cracked. By Dr. Flaster. She's done. I've had it done, and she does it well. Yeah, I know. Heather wants one of those right now. All right, second hour coming up. Beth, bots and watering, and more.
The Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, our business's people and their love for trees, and by Sid's Greenhouses, Chicagoland's premier garden centers, and by Back to Nature Compost. Life doesn't start with the seed, it starts with the soil. Here he is again, Mike Novak.
Heather, can we just rock out a little bit?
Yeah, we can play that thing through its entirety.
I love this song.
I love that song. I always said if my life was a movie, that'd be the opening credits.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We'll arrange that.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
All right, you're going to make a movie about me? PG-13, PG-rated.
Oh, well.
So then no movie.
No movie. There's no way we can tell your story PG-13.
Yeah, we could.
No, we couldn't.
If we lied a lot.
It's true.
Then I'd just be a Fox newscaster, and that would be what would be the point.
Another guy who was rocking out there in the corner is David Gravel, Vice President of Green Organics, Inc. How are you, David?
I'm doing real well. How about yourself?
Good, good.
Great.
Thank you for schlepping in.
It's not a problem.
You know, is it still raining out there?
It is raining. A lot of really cool lightning shows, though.
I'll bet. Yeah, I had some the other night, but I've already been through that. I still can't find that music. I've been looking for that tune, and I know I've got it here, but I'll find it after the show. That'll happen. It's because I don't have anything organized. I just have, you know, these discs here. Then
old school.
Total old school.
Mm-hmm.
Totally.
Where's your iTunes? Are we allowed to say that?
Yeah, you can say iTunes. I don't care. Okay. I wouldn't know how to hook it up to the system here. So could we do that?
Anything's possible.
I have an iTunes, an iPod. I have an iPod.
How many songs do you have in your iPod? Just
one.
Curious. One?
One.
That was the bumper music?
Just one, I think. I did a test, and then I kind of lost track of it.
I'm curious. So what's your one song?
I have no idea what it is.
Oh, my goodness.
It might not even be a song. It might be an interview or something on there. It's like... I know. I just never got into the iPod
thing. There's over 10,000 songs in my iTunes.
Now, you talk about old school. I'm old school. I get in the car. I turn on the radio.
Yeah. I still listen to the radio in my car. But not at home. I'll admit it. Not at home. At home, I'm the 21st century setup. But in the car, it's straight up radio.
And I almost never listen to the radio at home. It's weird.
Well, it's what I do 6 days a week. So when I'm at home, I kind of like to not listen to it, which is weird. I'm a junkie for it all the other hours of the week. But that home time is, I unplug the radio and plug in all the gizmos.
So what high-tech stuff have you got here, David? What were you playing with?
I have paper and pencil.
Da-da-da!
Because your business is kind of a low-tech business.
It is.
In a really, really... good, important way.
Yes.
Green Organics Inc. is a composting company.
We are a compost company. We have been, the current owners have been around since about 1999, mm-hmm. Owning the company and working with it. And they have been exclusively working with landscape waste, leaves, brush, grass, that kind of stuff. And then with the recent passage of SB 99, we have begun taking in food waste as well. So we've really been working on that sort of the landscapey organics end of things.
Now, folks, before their eyes glaze over, people who are listening, and we say SB 99.
Policy wonks, yes.
Yeah, well, we talked about that on this show several years back when it was being passed, because mm-hmm. it was passed in 08, and it was Senate Bill 99, and it was the whole idea of Senate Bill 99 was to make it easier for people in the state of Illinois to compost food waste.
Correct.
And at that time, interestingly enough, food waste was treated kind of the same as toxic materials.
Pretty much. The majority of it was that the food waste would be landfilled, or in some states, they actually incinerate it. So it would, depending on where you're at, I don't believe Illinois allows us to incinerate anything, especially food waste. So that's a good thing. But
That would be crazy. Right now, every time you turn around, somebody in the state of Illinois is trying to figure out a way to burn something.
Yes.
And call it green technology.
Yes. Whereas if you can actually compost it, you're essentially recycling mm-hmm. a natural resource.
Yeah.
And you're able to put it back in the soil. It's able to provide the nutrients that you need. And it's a really good thing. With the SB 99, what it's nice about it, you mentioned that it makes it easier for to reuse this food scrap. What it does is for folks like ourselves, landscape composters, we're allowed to take 10% of our allotted EPA waste stream and accept food waste. So, our company, the EPA, allows us to accept, in excess of 100,000 cubic yards of landscape waste. So then we could accept 10,000 cubic yards of food waste, food scrap.
Why are you limited to only 10% of your – now it's 10% of what you
– of what our allotment is. Of what are allowed because of the size of the facility and things like that. So, there's certain just requirements that allow us to, due to space limitations and the size of the company, we're allowed to, because we do everything in windrows, there's only so much waste, so much scrap that we can actually take in. And so the food scrap would just take the place of landscape materials, mm-hmm. essentially.
And the whole idea of SB 99 has benefited your company, which is Green Organics. But how does that translate to the average person? You know, I probably shouldn't say the average person, because you can just have a compost pile in your backyard.
Right.
But say a community garden or an entity that's smaller than a company like yours, because your business is composting.
Correct.
And I want to talk about that a little bit, you know, and how you guys do that on a large scale. But
sure.
Is it still difficult to transport food waste if you're a community garden or a smaller entity?
I don't believe the laws regulate that. My understanding is that if you're not selling the product, you know, each jurisdiction is going to have certain requirements. You know, as a resident in the suburbs, you know, our community does regulate that. From a community garden standpoint, I believe that there are certain regulations that whether it's Chicago or whether it's one of the other surrounding communities, they're going to have certain requirements as well. But at the same time, they can still take care of your organics. So in other words, most of the composting, especially if you're not getting it, if it's not too large, can handle the produce type compost, vegetables, produce, things like that. It's when you start getting into the meats and the papers, which I know is the true goal of the SB 99, the true post-consumer food scrap, that you really need to have it more from a consumer standpoint. A commercial standpoint, excuse me.
Yeah. 773-838-9278 is the phone number. You can tweet us at Mike Now. That is my handle. You can write on Facebook at The Mike Novak Show. We just got a tweet from Snappy J Dog who says, "Hi, David. Forest Park Community Gardens still love our compost from Green Organics." So
that's
you've
wonderful.
Been working with her,
yes,
huh?
Yes, we have been. And they've really loved our stuff. Their gardens have – I don't know if you've been out that way, but I was out there about a week or two ago. Just drove by it, popped in there, and everything's looking beautiful. So we provided them with two kinds of compost we produce. We actually produce the true just landscape waste compost, but then we also do the food scrap compost as well. And they took a little bit of both.
Okay. And when you sell that to people, how do you describe the difference in the product?
Premium and not premium.
So premium is
the food scrap.
The food scrap,
correct.
And is it just compost, or is it mixed with soil, or what?
Actually, it's just compost. Uh-huh. And with the food scrap, what you have to do is you do have to mix it with the carbon. You have to mix it with carbon, some sort of leaf or something
right,
like that.
Right, of course, yes.
And so from that standpoint, it does. We do take in.
So you throw in some of your landscape waste. Carbon?
Absolutely.
That comes into
the leaves and that kind of stuff.
You kind of go, what? Yeah. Is there a secret formula? Is this proprietary or what?
No. Yes and no. No. I mean, it's really pretty basic stuff. You know, you add a little bit of the greens, you add a little bit of the browns, and that's about it.
You make it sound so easy, but people are, a lot of people think composting is magic, and they are, you know, they find they don't do it right, or they don't do it well.
And I will admit to that. There's a lot. I've been composting in my own backyard for about 5 or 6 years now, and it would be termed like a heap compost pile. You know, I just created a small area and just started dumping stuff in.
Sure.
And I knew that it was a mix of greens and browns.
Sure.
And they refer to it as like a lasagna type mix or whatever. And the problem that I was wondering, well, how do you do that? You know, it's grass, it's green in the summertime, and it's brown in the wintertime. And how do you get that mix? And there's a lot of research, there's a lot of information which has been put out there, which actually identifies what is more carbon and what is more nitrogen. Obviously, your grasses is going to have a higher nitrogen in it. The leaves are going to have higher carbon in it. But then there are other products where it could be produce type or agricultural type products, which would be also considered a brown. And so you can
like what?
Well, it could be like your, if you're gardening in different seasons, it would be your waste product from your garden.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be the stalks potentially from your corn or something, or the pullings from the corn, the waste, if you will, from your garden. So even if you're just buying produce, you know, you go buy corn, well, all of a sudden, you know, unless you're buying the really super packaged up corn that comes in styrofoam and all that, which I wouldn't necessarily think we'd want to do.
No.
We would be buying corn that actually has, you have to shuck. And so the browns that you're shucking and instead of throwing away, you could actually compost that. And that would be part of your brown that you could use in the summertime.
Mm-hmm. Now, of course, with a corn cob, you've got to chop that up.
Not the cob. You're right. But you are right. If it is the cob portion, then you do have to grind that up in some form or fashion.
Because that, if you've ever done a compost pile in your own yard, you know that that does not break down particularly well.
No. Nope. It takes a long time.
So you've got – you sold to
– Forest Park.
Forest Park. And do you – what kinds of organizations can buy your product? Can anybody walk in the door and get it, or does it have to be – I mean, is it, can an individual, or does it have to be a larger group?
Traditionally, it is more business to business.
By the way, it's and the name of the company again is Green Organics, mm-hmm. Inc., and you're in Carroll Stream, but where's your composting
The compost facility is actually in Bristol, Illinois, mm-hmm. and that's not where they do the Renaissance Fair. That's in Wisconsin. Bristol, Illinois is North Yorkville, just north of Yorkville.
Okay.
And so it's in Kendall County, and so it's way, way out there.
Right.
But we've got a pretty good sized piece of land there, and so we're able to compost quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And we're able to cover most of the Chicagoland area.
You say you compost, do you know how total amount of product that you turn out annually?
We turn out somewhere in the range of between 50 to 75,000 yards of compost, cubic yards, which is a pretty decent amount of compost to generate. And so we're, you know, it's a good quality product. So,
well, it sure sounds like it. So. I mean, that's... Folks are always – I do garden talks and I say, you know, where can you get – the people ask me, where do you get good compost?
Right. Well, and that was the question you were asking. So we get it like in business to business. So we do sell to landscape contractors. We sell to wholesale companies. We sell wholesale to companies, retail outlets and other companies like that. And I apologize. I don't have a whole list of all those companies.
Well, but I also saw you sell to people like Scott's.
We do sell to Scott's. And so they take that product and they bag it. They sell it to – we do sell it to organizations, obviously Forest Park.
Mm-hmm.
And so really – unfortunately, the only people we don't sell to are homeowners, which is the worst part of it all.
Well, because this is the question I get. I go to and the question is, somebody's tweeted here, can you buy Green Organics compost in bags for smaller gardens? And are you telling me no?
We don't bag it. No. I'm sorry.
Why not?
We used it a long time ago.
Because this is here's the deal. You go to a club or you sit on your radio show here like I do,
yep.
And I tell people that what you want is compost. And people say, well, where do I get compost? And what you begin to understand after a while is that they're not thinking the way you are thinking of compost right now, David, because you're thinking of the big windrow and the, you know, acres of compost that's beautiful and hot and steaming,
yep.
And it's really chock full of nutrients and organic life. And the people who are asking where they can get compost, they're thinking of they're going to the box store and something's going to be in a bag, and that's what they call compost. And I don't consider that compost. I consider it bupkis, you know, because that's not really, you know, with certain exceptions.
Right.
You know, like I cotton burr compost, which I advertise on this show. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons I like to do it because I like the product. I think the product's really good.
Correct.
And it's something you can get in a bag.
Right.
And I know that there are other companies like Midwest Trading that put some really good product in a bag that you can get. But the good companies are few and far between, the ones that put out really good compost products.
Correct.
So then when I meet you, and you and I met at an organic lawn care seminar of all places, and you and I get to talking, and then I get all excited because you work for a composting organization. Then I find out you don't even bag it, so that the average homeowner, and I'm not blaming you for it. I'm saying that's not the way your company's set up.
The company is set up to actually work more with retailers and companies that would sell it in bulk. So I know that there was a young lady that I met through the Forest Park Community Garden who was saying, hey, where can I get this? We used it. I used it. It was great. And And this is where I apologize, because there was a I should know this off the top of my head. There is a company that we do have, and actually, give me a second. I may be able to find it quickly.
Okay, I'll tell you what. You look for that. Let me do some business. You're tracking down, because you got your low-tech paper and pencil here.
Which we can compost, we don't have to compost computers.
Wait. What about the lead in a pencil? That's a problem, isn't it?
They're not made with lead anymore.
It's graphite. It's graphite.
Yes. It's not lead. They stopped making them with lead a long time ago.
And nobody sent me the memo.
That was even before me.
Nobody sent me that memo. You're right. I'm so busted. I don't even know why I said that. Okay. After 50 years, as you heard earlier on my show when I talked to Phil Schaffsma Sr., after 50 years as one of Chicagoland's largest and most respected specialty retailers, Sid's Greenhouses and Garden Center is closing. Yes, sad for people on the southwest side of Chicago. But right now, you'll save from 30 to 70% in every department. Sid's Floral and Gift Shop is offering 30% off all purses and fashion accessories in their boutique, plus 30% off garden and home decor. And it's Christmas in July with 50% off Christmas decorations and 70% off artificial trees. In the greenhouse, you'll save 30% on the entire stock of tropical houseplants, cactus, succulents, and bonsai. You know, maybe get me a bonsai while I'm over there. To make Dan Costa happy. And all remaining annual flats, platters, hanging baskets, and color bowls are now 70% off. Over in the garden center, the entire pond department is 50% off. All pots, planters, pottery, and gardening tools are 40% off. And most other items are marked at 30% savings. Finally, in the nursery department, all trees and shrubs, 30% off. Ornamental grasses and perennials, 50% off. And you'll save 70% on all remaining fruit trees and Weeks rose bushes. Sid's, for 50 years, Chicagoland's premier garden centers, are located in Palos Hills on Southwest Highway and in Bolingbrook on Napier Plainfield Road at Hassert Boulevard. Now, they're not open today, but tomorrow, I think I'm going to be there, so say hi. For hours and directions, visit sidsonline.com. Go in, say goodbye, and wish them well. Chicago gardening is poorer for the loss of this great company.
Spending more time at home these days? Give yourself some room. Renovate your basement or attic. You'll increase your living space and your home's resale value, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687, for your remodeling needs, including additions, renovations, and other home improvements. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
If you're working on improving your garden soil, and I just talked about this a little bit with David Gravel from Green Organics, here's the word, burr. Not because it's cold. I'm talking about cotton burrs and back to nature, cotton burr compost. Cotton burr compost is a great food source for beneficial soil organisms, those organisms that are making your plants healthy. So cotton burr compost feeds the organisms that feed your plants. Put a thin layer of cotton burr compost around your trees and shrubs. Roses in particular seem to thrive on it. However, any tree or shrub in distress is likely to respond to an application. Here's another thing you're going to like. Cotton burr compost is prized for its ability to break up tight clay soils. It also improves moisture retention and fertility in sandy soils. Pick up a bag of Back to Nature cotton burr compost at your local independent lawn and garden dealer. You can find Back to Nature products at Pesquazi's in Lake Bluff in Barrington, Illinois, May Garden Center in Oconomowoc, Wisconsin, Countryside Garden Center in Crystal Lake, Illinois. Back to Nature. Life doesn't start with the seed. It starts with the soil.
Let me get to the point. Let's roll another joint and turn the radio loud. I'm too alone to be proud, and you don't know how it feels. You don't know how it feels to be me.
Now that's totally old school.
That's old school. Old school in the best possible way.
I like that.
Yeah.
How old school can that be?
That one came out in 1994 or 5.
Well, that's not that old.
Yeah, it was Tom Petty's second solo album, Wildflowers.
But just the turning the radio on.
Yep.
Old school. Yep. It's a Mike Novak show.
You want a good radio song? I'll find you a good radio song.
You got one? Okay.
Oh yeah.
Give me a good radio
song.
There's lots of good radio songs.
Oh, there's tons.
We'll do that. Let's put it together a CD of radio songs.
I've got 15 in my head already.
Okay,
no problem.
All right, good. Go for it. Give you something to do.
I'm going
to
find one though in the next break. You do your talk thing.
Do your
plants
talk
and
thing.
Green yeah, and hug the earth and go ahead.
Okay.
We like the earth.
We love the earth. We hug it as much as we can.
David Gravel is here, Vice President of Green Organics Inc. What were you looking for?
Something I can't find. I'm just getting old. I think I know the company, but unfortunately, I don't want to say it if it's not true. It's a company which is actually closer into the city that sells our product, and I can send it to you at another time.
Oh, that's a shame because people are sitting there and they're
listening
going,
and wanting to know right
what's
now.
What's the company that
I
sells
know,
your product?
Know.
You know,
really,
and what do they do? They just bag it because you know you said that Scott sells your product, but when they bag it, I wonder what they add to it. They might add fertilizer to it, and I don't like compost with fertilizer added because
I remember
it's,
from your talk.
Do you?
I was there. I was actually paying attention.
That's true because as I alluded to before, David and I met at a really cool conference,
yes,
which was organic lawn care.
Natural lawn care,
and I did the keynote for that, and I'm glad that one person in the room. See, the keynote is the time when everybody's in the morning; they're still getting coffee and their donut, so your job is to sort of speak until everybody's got coffee and donuts, and then they bring in the real speakers.
See, but you had a really cool video program for your PowerPoint presentation, which I just loved how it zoomed in and out, and it was...
Did you? It's Prezi. Are you familiar?
No.
Okay.
Is it an Apple thing or no?
No. It's an online thing. Prezi.com. If you go to... he's going to write it down in his little thing. Prezi is pretty cool. The problem with Prezi is it could get overused, but it zooms and swoops, and it's a PowerPoint kind of thing. It's not actually PowerPoint. It's Prezi, you know. It's like Band-Aid is the
corporate name, but it's...
But everybody calls them Band-Aids. Right. Well, everybody calls them PowerPoints, but I also use Corel presentations. Right. I use... LibreOffice presentations. I use Prezi. I have so many different presentations that I use.
See, and my background is a landscape architect, so I
really
I appreciate very cool presentations. Yes.
Well, that's awesome. So it's a good fit for you to be for this organics.
It is.
So in the 2 years plus where the law changed in Illinois,
yep,
you now 10% of your compost product is...
We are collecting up to 10%.
Up to 10% of food scrap, food waste.
Scrap. No,
food
no,
scrap,
food
not scrap. Scrap.
I'll get beat up if I call it food waste.
Okay, why?
Well, because it's actually not waste. It's a
Well,
problem.
I know that. All right, but it's just kind of a generic, but you want to be specific.
The terminology is changing to calling it food scrap, and I'm having to change.
Because if you say
well.
Food waste, does it give it a bad image?
I think so. I think people think of it as something that, well, that's just the thing I throw in the garbage.
Yeah.
And where if you call it a food scrap, you know, scraps are things which could be reused, table scraps or whatever.
And where do you get these from? You know, does the supermarket have all the extra they have? They load it in the truck, send it to you?
We get ours from a third-party hauler, and they get it from
somebody
a
like a
of
waste
sources.
Management or like that?
It wouldn't be waste management, but it would be somebody like that. In this case, it's a company which is actually their main business model is a collection of organics. Although right now they're primarily collecting produce type stuff. Mm-hmm. And the you know, a lot of the collection right now is happening at the grocery store level. You know, it's happening there. I know a lot of the I'm sure your listeners are very familiar, maybe they're not, of the whole food stream pyramid. The food waste pyramid, the food scrap pyramid.
No, this is a whole new concept to me. All right, tell me about the food scrap pyramid.
Basically, the EPA has come out, and there is a pyramid that they have identified of food scrap and how people can save food.
Because they got rid of the nutrition pyramid,
of course,
so they had to replace it with the food
waste pyramid. Absolutely. No, actually, in this case, what they're talking about is just how much food is actually wasted in our entire food stream. And so they talk about ways that you can reduce it at the source. You can reduce it by feeding hungry people, by using the excess food to feed animals. They can use it for industrial uses, such as anaerobic digestion.
Mm-hmm.
They can use it for composting. And finally, it would go in the landfills. And
so composting is
actually kind of low on the whole totem pole.
It is. I'm kind of surprised.
I was, too. I was kind of disappointed.
Because composting is a very good use for food. Now, yes, if you have the food and exists, the very first best thing you can do is give it to people so they can eat it. Yeah,
yes.
I do understand that part.
But
composting, I see nothing wrong with because all the nutrients are saved.
It's still there, right. But a lot of it is our culture seems to think that if it isn't perfect, it's not good. And so maybe there's a small bruise on that pear. And okay, well, we can't sell that. And people will actually avoid buying it. Well, I don't want to buy that. And so all of a sudden, then what does the grocery store do with that? Well, we have to get rid of it. So then maybe they give it to a food bank, or maybe they do something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe moving it up in a different level of the food chain, you have the distributors. And so you have a lot of food distributors who will get a pallet of something which is moldy or there's something wrong with it, and they have to unload it. They have to get rid of it. And so they may wind up getting rid of tons and tons of food,
mm-hmm.
which maybe only a small portion that's on the pallet is something that is actually bad. There was a study in 2006 entitled Food Loss in the American Household, and in that study they identified that 14% of purchased food at the consumer level is thrown away. And of that 14%, that average is about 470 pounds of food annually that gets pitched. Which
470 pounds per household.
Average household, which is about $600 a year, which, mm-hmm. you know, maybe in better years it doesn't sound great. But in this day and age, that's a lot of, you know, people are looking for money wherever they can find it.
Well,
And this study went so far as to identify that somewhere – It generally deprives the U.S. economy of about $43 billion a year annually. Just a simple 14% of food purchased. So
how much billion?
$43
billion. So $43 billion worth of purchased food.
Yes. Is pitched.
Is pitched.
Right.
In America.
Right.
Now,
people may choose to, hey, well, we'll actually compost that. You know, people like me, I'll say, okay, well, instead of throwing the
food
out,
I'll compost. Well, I do. I mean, you know, I've become very aware of this, and I hate throwing anything out now, but what I like is that it can go into my compost pile.
Yes.
And it doesn't end up in a landfill.
Right.
So there's very little that goes out of my – you know, I've gotten to the point where there's very little in my garbage bin, the black one.
Correct.
Out back, because I either recycle.
Yep.
Or I compost.
Correct.
And it doesn't take much. And I'm not obsessive.
Right.
About it. And if everybody just got a little better about it, you don't have to become obsessive, but everybody got just a little better, boy, we would really cut down on what's going to landfills.
Absolutely. Moving up the chain from the households, I don't have actual dollar figures on this, but food service operators estimate that 4 to 10% of whatever they use is discarded. And that could be food that is either lost in prep, or that could be food which is actually served to somebody. And, you know, it's the supersize. There was a really good documentary, I think, Supersize Me, a while back, which talks about that whole concept of our culture, again, is just the restaurant industry, not to pick on them specifically, but there's something that, you know, make it bigger, make it more. And a lot of people just don't eat it. Some do, some don't.
Well, I think that the portions that are served in a lot of places are obscene.
Of course.
And part of that problem is that mindset – that everything should be really cheap and it should be really big. Right. And I'm not just talking about food. I mean, again, let's go back to the box stores and the conversation I had with Phil Schaffsma earlier when, mm-hmm. you know, with Sid's going out of business yep. and the mindset that I should be able to buy anything I want and it should not cost me anything and it should be huge. And that slops over into the restaurant thing.
Absolutely.
So, you know, as a result, a lot of that food does.
Correct. Gets pitched.
It gets pitched,
Better yet, it's part of that 14%. You know, you sit there and you take it home with you, intending to eat it, and it just kind of grows mold in your fridge.
Enter your company,
yes.
Green Organics, which takes a lot of that food and
yep.
composts it.
Correct.
And you do it right, and you produce. You're working to become OMRI listed.
We are working to become OMRI listed, and OMRI is an organization which is part of the National Organic Program, which is the
organic materials,
organic for the organic farming community.
Yeah,
and to be certified organic, they need to use products which are verified that can be used. And so we've submitted our application for that, and we're unfortunately maybe they're understaffed. They said, "Oh, now you have to wait 3 to 4 months before anybody looks at it." So we're in the waiting process right now.
By the way, you got a tweet again from Snappy Jay,
yes.
who says, "David, you need to put retailers on your website." Yo. I think she just
yes,
busted you.
I think so.
I think so. No, because you're putting out a good product.
Yes.
I know a couple of other. Composters in the state who are putting out good products.
Yep.
I want to be able to point people in the
to
right direction
and
say, okay. All right, listen, it's the Mike Novak Show in Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. That is David Gravel from Green Organics, Inc. It's www.greenorganicinc.com. And the link is on my website, mikenovak.net, this week's show. Stick around. I got Beth Botts coming in here, and we are... going to talk about watering, and I'll bet she's got some questions for you anyway, because I know she's listening,
sounds
and
good.
She knows all about good organics.
Uh-oh, questions.
She's fine, except that, you know, she's worked for the Chicago Tribune for 20 years, so she will take you down.
Oh, no, more people to bust my chops.
Exactly. Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. Did you know that the Care of Trees has a blog? You can find the link to it on their homepage, thecareoftrees.com. Look at the right side of the page and choose a subject that you want to read about. Among the topics that the experts at the Care of Trees have been discussing lately are sudden needle drop of spruce trees, how you can help your trees deal with heat stress, can a tree uprooted in a windstorm be saved? The answer to that is generally no. Can an ash tree be moved out of the line of fire to survive emerald ash borer? The answer is pretty much no. And what a day in the life of an arborist is really like? The answer is you don't want to know. I'm kidding. Whether you want to make sure all is well with the trees in your yard, you're changing your landscaping, or you're moving, check out the blog on the Care of Trees site, or invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look. See thecareoftrees.com, 847-394-4220, 847-394-4220, the Care of Trees. Their business is people and their love for trees.
Make this your best gardening season yet. Hi, I'm Melinda Myers, horticulturist and gardening expert. Invest a bit of time now to ensure a bountiful harvest and beautiful landscape throughout the season. And include Milorganite, eco-friendly, all-purpose fertilizer, as part of your formula for success. Use Milorganite organic nitrogen fertilizer in all your planting beds. The low nitrogen, slow release formula makes Milorganite goof-proof and good for the environment. So choose Milorganite for better results naturally. Available wherever garden supplies are sold.
Okay, hold on. Let me switch the button. You ready here?
Yes, I am.
Counting down. 3, 2, 1. Yeah, Van Morrison is definitely old school. Turn it up, radio. Thank you. You're going to find me another one.
Okay.
All right. I don't know if I have another chance to play it, but we'll see what happens. Let's go to line one. Everybody's on line one today, and bring in the inimitable Beth Botts.
Howdy do.
Hi. You sound
chipper?
That's because I'm indoors and not being rained on.
And I just heard a clap of thunder.
Yes.
Out there, so it's still happening. Oh, let's wait a second. You are nominally today the food fundamentals. I can't even remember the name of
sustainable
my
sustainable food fundamentals.
Thank you. I knew there was another word.
That's why I'm your producer, sir.
That's right. And so we need the intro, and it goes like this:
Have a banana, Anna. Try the salami, Tommy. Give it the gravy, Davy. Everybody eats when they come to my house.
Sustainable food fundamentals. Growing good food that's good for the earth.
Catch a Tory Dory. Taste a bologna, Tony. Everybody eats when they come to my house.
There we go. And you're nominally, I say, because we're going to talk a little bit about watering. Which is for vegetables, but it's for landscape plants as well.
Absolutely.
And, of course, David Gravel. Say hi, Beth.
Hi, Beth.
Hi, David.
Have you guys met before?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so.
I don't believe so.
All right. But started as a landscape architect?
Yep.
So he knows a little bit about this. And, of course, Beth, you and I decided to do this back when it was a million years ago, when it was 100 degrees and there was no rain.
Yes, I want to take, and I'm just, you know, I'm going to be upfront about this. I want to take full responsibility for the rain, the flooding, everything, because what I did the day before was go out and spend hours and hours and hours watering and blogging about watering and watering some more, and therefore, the next day, it rained 4 inches in my garden. Now, you know, 4 inches, I got off easy, right? Some people got 7.
Well, and I got a basement full of it too. So,
right. So
you got off easy. Of course, you don't have a basement. At least it's
we
not.
Have a basement.
You have a basement.
We
but
damn well do. We. Pardon me. Oops. I can't say
Damn's okay.
We have a basement. We have a sump pump, and yes, we have had the sump pump fails during big rainstorm experience. So I do feel your pain.
I need to get a sump pump. I don't even have a sump pump in mind. That's part of the problem.
Well, that would be part of your problem.
I would think so.
Yeah, no, my vivid memory of the last time the sump pump failed is I keep my garden tools and garden stuff in the lowest part of the basement where the drain is.
Mm-hmm.
And the last time our sump pump failed, I happened to have a partly used bag of extremely expensive organic fertilizer, which of course is based on chicken manure, and that bag flooded, and that was the most incredible stink I have ever experienced in my life. And so then I decided that the smart way to dispose of it would be to scatter it in the garden. So then we had the most ungodly stink in the garden for 2 weeks.
For 2 weeks?
Oh, I mean, that stuff is...
Oh, well David's nodding because...
Manure, you gotta love manure products.
Well, yeah.
It's its own animal. No,
yeah.
Pun intended. But it is actually... It has a terrible stench with it.
So here is a tip, which I learned from my friend Jackie, who lives in Riverside and her basement floods all the time.
Okay.
She said, go out and get a couple of those big, deep plastic bins, which I actually found a couple in an alley.
Mm-hmm.
And keep all of your fertilizer and grass seed and potting soil and stuff in the bin. And that way your basement would have to flood like 15 inches before it got to your bagged goods.
Well, I'll tell you my story about that. And I learned that you keep that kind of stuff in a plastic bin because I have some of it in my garage, not in my basement. If you have something like corn gluten meal, the critters will want to eat the corn gluten meal. So yeah, that's a reason you put that in a bin if it's in the garage.
Yeah.
Or probably even in a basement, because if you've got mice, I'm not saying people have rats, but a lot of people have mice.
Yeah.
That can be a problem, too. Well, let me congratulate you on bringing the water to Chicago.
Yeah,
the rain.
Well, always glad to be of service.
And I got to be honest with you, these two blog posts you did are just fantastic. And after she wrote them, I looked at them and I read down. There's one called, the first one is called How to Water, a Manifesto. You don't fool around. And it goes on forever. And all I could think of was, how long did that take you to write? And it took a long time, didn't it?
It takes, you know, it doesn't take me that long to write. It takes a long time to do what we old fart journalists call reporting.
Now you said damn and fart on the same show.
which is actually, you know, making sure the information is, finding out the information and making sure it is correct. That's the hard part. The
yeah, it is. You know, when you write this stuff, you gotta check your facts.
Yeah.
You know, and you don't even have necessarily, when you're doing it on your blog, the
I have no editor.
That's right. They're not,
which
the
is
trip
a good
people
thing
not
and a bad thing.
Yeah.
I used to be an editor, and therefore I am more convinced than many bloggers are of the value of editors. Editors have saved my ass so many times.
That's three.
I know. You're a triple threat here today, Beth.
She said booger yet?
I'm sorry. Well, see, how far do I have to go to get to seven?
Well, I don't know. My kids would say stupid is a bad word nowadays. So.
Oh.
I'm looking at the panic button here now that... Well, I just keep my eye on it. I never thought
I'd... Beth, you're such a rebel.
Really? Totally old school. So you wrote this, and then the other one was... The first one is How to Water, a Manifesto, and the other is What to Water With. And let's face it, folks, we know that at some point it'll dry out again.
Yeah.
And you'll be dealing with this, and those of you who did not get through the week well, or the last several weeks because you didn't water well... might want to take a look at this. What are the biggest mistakes that people were making, Beth?
Well, I think the biggest mistake that people make about watering is that they don't actually know what's going on in their soil. They're just sort of guessing. They sort of think maybe it rained, but they don't realize, yeah, it rained, but that was like last week.
Yeah.
Or they think, yeah, it rained, so my whole garden's okay, and they don't realize that the part of your garden that's underneath the Norway maple gets a lot less rain than the lawn.
Yeah.
And so they don't actually go out and stick their finger in the soil and, you know, find out if there's moisture in the soil. If you don't, you know, if it's too gross to stick your finger in the dirt, then get a trowel and dig down there and look at it. But actually figure out how much moisture is actually in your soil. And do that in several places in your garden because the conditions are not the same everywhere in your garden. And, I think that is the number one, you know, people sort of wait until they notice that their plants are wilting and then they say, oh, maybe I should water. You should, you know, be consistently aware of what's going on in your garden and especially in your soil because it doesn't really matter about watering the plants. What matters is watering the soil and the root zones of the plants because they take the water up through their roots.
Yeah. And, you know, the other thing that people do, and along the lines of what you just said, is, and this is crazier, and I don't, but this is the way people behave, they say, well, we had a wet spring.
Right.
You know, and now it's July.
Well, I mean, I fell for that, actually. I mean, it was well into June before it sort of dawned on me that my soil was as dry as it was.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I had been sort of, not paying attention. And then I was planting some things because, okay, I got disorganized and I didn't get some things planted. And I was planting them in the middle of June. And my, wow. You know, there were places where I was getting 6 inches, 8 inches down in my garden and there was no water. I thought, oh, my God. So, yeah, you can fall into that mindset. And so the corrective for it is you just got to force yourself to pay attention.
And among the other tips you have here, water the soil, not the leaves. Water the plants before they need it,
right.
Which is, it's also about hydrating yourself, too.
Right.
You know,
absolutely.
Drink water before you actually collapse. Water new plants more because they don't have as extensive root systems. But I'm going down those because I want to get to the one that relates to this idea of we don't know how much water is in our soil, and that is watering deeply.
Yeah. You want to water when you water, you want to water long and deep because, and by deep, we usually mean long, because you're watering with a sprinkler or something, and the way you regulate the amount of water that gets into the soil is by how long you leave the sprinkler running. You want to put a large amount of water into the soil so that it soaks deep, deep, deep down. And then as the upper layers of the soil dry out, the roots of the plant will have to search deeper down into the soil to find that water. And that will encourage the roots to grow longer. And you'll have a larger, more resilient root system and a healthier plant.
But it's hard to, you know, we're at the community garden we set up in my neighborhood. We have assigned watering days for everybody.
Right.
And I think that was really good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we didn't, and we try to let people know that don't assume it's going to rain, and that's one of your tips also, and don't assume that it, when it did rain, that enough rain came down, although this week, obviously, we had plenty, and I'm very grateful for that.
Yeah.
I think people get faked out by that, too. They don't know how deep the rain went or how much rain they actually got.
Right. Well, you know, gardeners sort of use the same terminology as weather people, which is to talk about inches of rain. And that's kind of confusing for people. How much is an inch of rain? The conventional way to find out is, you know, you put out the tuna can or the water glass when you're running your sprinkler and you figure out, you know, how long it takes your particular sprinkler to fill that glass up to 1 inch, and then you know how long to run the sprinkler. And that's one way to do it. Another way to do it is to, I figured out one time that an inch of rain is about 2/3 of a gallon per square foot.
Okay.
And if that helps you to figure it out that way.
But it is important because all the gardening manuals and the advice columns say an inch of rain per week.
Yeah.
But here's the problem with that. We've been talking about evaporation rates that are at half an inch a day.
Exactly. When it's hot, you're going to have to water more than that. 1 inch a week is an average. When it's hot, you're going to have to water more, and you're probably going to have to water more often. Because the plants, what's going on with the plants, the way plants cool themselves is they allow water to evaporate out of holes in their leaves. And when it's hotter, they're allowing more water to evaporate, which means that they're sucking more water up out of the soil. So the plants themselves, it's not just that the sun is drying out the soil, the plants themselves are drying out the soil. And later in the season, as the plants are larger, obviously they're sucking up more water. So when it's hot and when the plants are well developed, you're going to have to water more. And that's something that you just, you know, you build that awareness with experience.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're a newer gardener, you know, you really have to pay attention to it. Containers, anything in a pot has a very limited amount of soil to take water from. And that means that the pot's going to dry out faster. And you're going to have to water most plants in containers. You're going to have to water every day.
And sometimes twice a day, especially if you're
in the 90s, you know,
yeah.
Twice a day. And, you know, get out there with your finger and stick your finger in and see if it's still moist. That's, you know, and develop a sense for how.
That's old school.
I know. I'm old school. I'm an old word I'm not supposed to use on the radio.
You've used enough already today. We'll.
Yeah.
Let's keep it in check here, if we can.
Yeah.
And by the way, we're talking to Beth Botts, writer extraordinaire, writer of gardening in growing in Chicago, rather, is the blog site, but you read her stuff in the Chicago Tribune and in Chicagoland Gardening Magazine and all kinds of places. And we're talking about how to water. She did two great posts, which I've linked to my website, MikeNovak.net, and you can find, you know, as I said, online, you know, print them out, tape them to your wall, tattoo them into your leg, spray paint them on your garage door. These are great tips, and this is, just hold on to these two articles because they will come in good stead in the future. Let's be, since we're running a little bit short of time, so the other thing about watering is too much water.
Yeah. Don't water this week, folks. And but this is a good opportunity to look at your garden, look at your soil, look for the places where water pools and doesn't seem to go away as fast. That's a big storm like this is a really good way to indicate to you where you've got good drainage in your garden and where you don't.
Mm-hmm.
And in your containers also. I had the misfortune to buy some of that, quote, moisture control potting soil this spring without, because I wasn't paying attention to what I was buying.
Oh, really? So with the polymers?
I don't know what it's got in it. It's like a wet brick. It does not have the drainage that you need. You want your soil.
Oh, no, that's not the polymer stuff, because that expands. It sounds like you got something else.
I got something probably even worse.
What, David, do you have any clue with that?
I have no clue, but, yeah, that doesn't sound like that's a good product, because it's, I mean, you know. It's,
you want something that, yeah, drains
it's
well.
And it's going to drain and all that sort of stuff, right?
You want something that will hold enough water so that your roots have a chance to absorb water from it, but you want the excess water to be able to drain away.
Like compost.
Compost is a really good way. It's largely a matter of having an absorbent material, but having it in large enough particles so that there's airspace between the particles, and that also is space for water to flow through.
Yep.
So compost is a really good way of getting that.
But the
kind
thing
of
is, but compost is something you're going to put in your soil, not in your container, generally. Unless you can mix it with something that's really lightweight,
right,
like a perlite or peat moss.
Peat moss is not sustainable.
It's not sustainable.
Correct.
There are people who will argue with you about that, Beth.
Yeah, I know they will. But I've just decided that I've come down on the side of not wanting to use peat moss. But there is an argument for using a sterile potting mix in containers because containers are much more vulnerable to disease than waters in the ground because it's just than plants in the ground because it's just kind of a smaller ecosystem.
Yeah.
But there are potting mixes that contain plenty of organic matter, plenty of compost that have been sterilized.
Yeah.
So, I like to use sterile potting mix just to protect myself against disease.
Real quickly, because we've got less than 2 minutes, watering with, you like the black rubber hoses because they are...
Because when they kink, they come unkinked, and they don't keep a kink the way the vinyl ones do.
And it is all. Do they also not have the lead in them because of the PVC?
Yeah. No, I mean, they're rubber.
Yeah. So, one thing you should know about hoses, folks, is that unless it says it's lead-free, it's got lead in it, all right?
Right.
And if the water sits outside and gets hot, then it's got a ton of lead in it, and you shouldn't let your kids drink from that. Now, most people are smart enough to let the hose run so that the water gets cold, but it's still got lead in it to some degree. So if you want a hose that doesn't have lead, you have to buy one that specifically says it does not have lead.
Right.
And then you love the quick connectors. And
I love those things. I'm so glad I discovered those things. They allow you, I use the brass ones, don't buy plastic. They allow you to very quickly connect sprinklers or nozzles or timers or whatever you have, connect them and disconnect them without having to twist, so you don't get all those kinks and tangles in your hose when you're disconnecting and disconnecting things. And it also, it encourages you, encourages me to use the right tool because it's so easy to connect and disconnect the tool.
And you've got more there. It's you can go to growinginchicago.com or go to my website, mikenovak.net, and read the articles. She did a great job, and since you're not getting paid for it, I suppose we should get as many people there as possible.
Darn right.
All right. Beth Botts, thanks. We will talk real soon.
Okay.
David Gravel, you see, you didn't even get grilled by Beth.
That's,
isn't that nice?
That was nice. Thank you, Beth.
And his is greenorganicinc.com. Thank you for being in the studio. Heather Fry, thank you for being here as well. And go green.
Or go home.